The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're sitting down with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick talking about all things Howard University. Lines are open 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, or certainly follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, and it's a thing that has been in the news a great deal, is the Trump administration's immigration policy, which right now is on hold, as you know, because of legal actions in the federal appellate courts and the like. As you just mentioned, Howard University, an extremely diverse place for higher education. What are your thoughts about the impact that this immigration ban that, again, is still up in the air will have on the kind of students that attend the university?
You know, this is obviously a very concerning development and one that we've been watching closely. When this was first announced, I was on the phone with the team. Our first reaction was to first figure out where all our students were located. The second thing we did was to contact an immigration lawyer to make sure that we had resources available to the students who may have any difficulty. And we actually had two students from Iran who were caught outside of the country and needed assistance getting back in, couldn't travel for a couple of days. And when they eventually did, we had our outside counsel meet them at the airport and support them in terms of getting them back into the country. I think that's critical for us to do and something that we have to continue really pushing on doing and making sure that we do that consistently. Having said that, the other thing that I think is concerning about this is if you look at the diversification of certain fields in America based on who is actually training and what is happening. I'll use medicine as an example. If you look at internal medicine in particular as well, when we look at the residents, we're seeing more and more residents from outside of the country, several of them from some of these very countries that ban is on. And I think that's something that's happening across the country. So these things really have the potential to harm the country significantly if they continue. If this is pursued on an ongoing basis by the White House, I really think that this is something that needs to be stepped back and re-looked at, and some really I would say coherent discussion and then subsequent plan is part of what needs to take place in order to get to the next step. This is not the right thing, in my opinion. And how it needs to be set up and managed is something that has to be ongoing. But again, this is another example where advocacy is important and engaging the White House to make sure that they understand what we do see in the field and that this is not a cut and dry issue, that you're going to do this on behalf of national security. I think that's misguided. I think the economic impact this could have alone on the country would be something that could be devastating. So this is something that we definitely don't support. We also are pushing to support our students in the best way possible by making sure that any students that fall into these categories we support. But we've started to look even beyond just the seven countries. I mean, we want to be absolutely prepared. So we're looking at, you know, how many students and how many people we're training in the system that may be along those lines. And just, again, for the sake of full transparency, I came here on a student visa, an F-1 visa, subsequently did my residency on an H-1B visa, and then subsequently got my green card and then became a citizen. So I've traveled that journey. And somewhere along that journey, I could certainly have been one of those students who traveled home to visit my family and couldn't come back here because of something like this. And so I'm also personally sensitized about the impact that this could potentially have.
Well, and which brings me to my next point. It's my understanding that when this was going on, when there were, immigrants and green card holders who were not able to get back in, and you spoke about two students that, you personally went down to the airport to offer, support. And a lot of people think that, college presidents, not just, whether it's a Howard or a Hampton or a Morgan or whatever, that you sit in an Ivy Tower, but you went down there. What was that like?
No, it's a couple of things. Just to be clear, I didn't go myself. We sent an immigration lawyer. But my point is I was involved in finding out who they were, making sure that we were touching base with their families, et cetera. And I got to tell you, it's very difficult. The fear and anxiety that exist is tremendous. These people are worried about being able to be free, to be who they are, to practice their religion. I mean, those are basic tenets of what America was built on. And when those things are challenged in such an open fashion, it is a concern. And as I put out in my letter last Friday about it, is not something that we can support as a university. And it's something, as a matter of fact, we have to speak out against, and we have to push back on to make sure that the right things are happening. I tell you, one of the students in particular, was so concerned about being separated from family who was here and getting back to them. And I think of, my wife and kids at home, and I think about, just a snowstorm that might prevent me from getting from Howard to, my home and getting to them. And that's an uncomfortable thought, being in a foreign country, not having access. I mean, that's just, it's really terrifying. And so that fear as well is something as well that we've got to talk out, we've got to speak out against, and we've got to push back on, and we've got to, sensitize people that, these things, we have to have a balance. I understand the concern about national security as well. I don't want to be dismissive of that at all. What happened on 9/11 and in New York, I mean, we have to also recognize that people were, again, deeply affected. People lost their lives, and that, changed people forever. And we have to respect that as well. And obviously, we want to live in a safe environment. I gave a talk at the FBI today. Director Comey introduced me. And, as I said to the men and women in there, I respect what they do, and I really appreciate the fact that they all contribute to keeping us safe. We have to see that, balance, and make sure that we strike the right tone around these policies, et cetera. And this isn't one that I think was the right one.
And suffice it to say, we're not just talking about students. We're also talking about faculty. We're talking about the hospital, for example. As just to walk through Howard University Hospital, all you have to do is listen, and you hear the physicians and the medical support teams. Not all of these people are born here in the United States, and for something like this to happen could actually severely impact how the university operates, how the hospital operates. It's not just about the students.
You're absolutely right. And that's why we have to continually be advocating and making sure that people respect and understand that. But everybody has a different role to play. The students and the faculty have to be unencumbered in their ability to protest, et cetera. In my position, I have to be able to engage those that have the power to make a difference, to help be an advocate for change and for the right things. And so, we all have a role to play, and we all have to make sure that we're playing that role to the best of our ability.
Let's talk a little bit, switch gears a bit, and talk about the sesquicentennial. Certainly, we've been talking about that since last year as we were approaching, and already things have begun to kick off. There have been programs and events, you know, on campus and the like. Talk to me a little bit now that things are getting underway, what your hopes are for this.
So, you know, I think it's a very exciting time. We are getting an opportunity to celebrate the university, which is also my alma mater. That requires looking back at what has happened thus far. But just as importantly, it requires looking forward, right? Where are we going? What are we doing? And I think the events that we have slated are going to touch the right tone. On March 2nd, after opening convocation, I think being down at the new Smithsonian African American Museum is great. I think that would be a great opportunity, great place to be for us to really talk about the things that matter and to push really, really hard on how we should have things set up for the future. But I think bringing everyone together as a community helps us set that tone, helps us get into that mode, that, and helps us hear that clarion call to action where we must get out and do it. And so far, the sponsorship of that, of the next night, the Charter Day Dinner, has been phenomenal. And that's the other thing that I want to take the opportunity to thank the corporate community in particular, who have really stepped up and supported our efforts around this Charter Day Dinner. And I'm very humbled by how much they have looked at the university celebrating the 150th anniversary and seeing the prudence and you know, us celebrating it in the right way.
Not all HBCUs have survived the, that 1867 beginning that so many had. How, in your opinion, how has Howard survived? And what is the message to those that will be coming back during these celebrations as you look back historically and in the recent past?
Yeah, you know, that journey has been tortuous. it hasn't been linear. It has been tortuous. It has peaks and valleys, to be quite honest. And when I look back at that history, the presidents who came before me, et cetera, you know, some of what has occurred at the university has been unbelievable at times in terms of, you know, really difficult times, trying to pay the bills, not being able to pay employees. I mean, it's been difficult sometimes in financial circumstances. It's been difficult sometimes in terms of what was going on in the country at the time. You know, having riots in D.C., Howard University, you know, being the epicenter of change. You look at people over the years for all the praise and, you know, everyone embracing Muhammad Ali. Sometimes I think to myself, you know, it's shocking that Muhammad Ali came here to speak and wasn't, you know, the administration was concerned about that. And he spoke on the steps of Douglas Hall, you know. You look at student activism, which I still think is one of the best things that has come out of the university in the past few decades. All of those things, I mean, the journey has been difficult. Brown versus the Board of Education. But what has remained true is the spirit of the university, that spirit to make sure that we speak to truth and service, and that spirit to make sure that we advocate for the things that we hold dear, right? And I have to say that I have been very, very impressed that despite the peaks and valleys, what has been consistent is our light for excellence through truth and service.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about that service. It's that time of year again coming up, alternative spring break. An expanded alternative spring break this year where the students are going to serve communities in need. So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Talking to Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue the conversation with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick about all things Howard University. Before I talk about alternative spring break, which is also, you know, just one of my, you know, favorite things to talk about when it when you talk about what the students are doing, I want to go back to the issue about the students. There were some questions that some students have raised within the last 30 minutes or so about whether or not you had met with them about U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos. Could you talk to for those that are listening?
There are a few groups that have contacted me since. One was HU Resist, and they have a social media campaign ongoing. I met with them this morning at 9:30 to about 10:45, 10:50. And I've just recently sent them a letter in response to their concerns. Along with that, this is a very diverse campus, so there are other groups and students who've reached out to me who have different, very different opinions about, you know, some of those student demands, et cetera. And so I've agreed to meet with all of those groups as well. So tomorrow I'm going to have a busy day meeting with those students, all of whom have, you know, different opinion from what I heard today. And so my intent is to be just as responsive to that, you know, to those students as well.
How do you balance those opinions? I mean, you said I know there, you could argue that the lion's share of them, as you mentioned, you're talking about HU Resistance and some other groups that may be giving pushback to the Trump administration and, of course, Secretary DeVos. But then there are others, as you said, that are not as stringent in their opposition, and then others that are supporting. Yeah. How do you balance that?
Well, you know, the first thing is, you know, we have a legacy that I like to make sure that we focus on, and that is that oftentimes if we can't get to who we feel we are against or who may be oppressing us, we then place surrogates in their way. And we either blame the surrogates or we attack the surrogates. And in this circumstance, if you can't go down to 1600 Pennsylvania and meet with Mr. Trump and tell him exactly what you think of him, then anything that I do as president of Howard that isn't as aggressive as people would want to see, then I become that target. And I disagree with that approach, right? As I said, everybody has a different role to play. And I think too often, you know, we assume that the administration is against the general opinion of the students. Everybody has a different role to play. The faculty have a different role to play in terms of how they express themselves and who they express themselves to and how they go about their advocacy. The students have a different role to play in terms of how they do that. And I do, as the university president as well, have a different role to play. And so I have to do what I have to do. I have to make sure that there are no obstacles in the way of our students doing what they have to do. When the students protested and were arrested at NAACP, I was on the phone immediately with Chief Jordan to let him know that we needed to support the students. And so what I instructed him to do was to contact the precinct and see if we could get access to the students. They were denying us access at that time. And then I told him we needed to try to arrange transport for them back to campus as well as soon as they were released. I mean, in other words, I support that they must protest and do those things the way they do it. I'm fully supportive of that. I want them to be safe. I want them to be nonviolent. But they have to protest and they have to speak up and be heard. That's what the university campus is for. But it says a lot about Howard University that the opinions could be very diverse. And not because somebody is in the minority of an opinion, does that mean that we ignore them and don't listen to them as well? And that's the other thing that I have to advocate for and make sure that, you know, we're striking the right balance. Regardless of what the majority wants done, everybody has to be represented. And so quite a number of students have contacted me as well with a difference of opinion. That doesn't negate the demands made or the concerns expressed by any particular group, but it's my responsibility to juggle that. So, yes, it's a difficult juggle, but that's part of my job as being the university president.
Speaking of obstacles, alternative spring break is coming up, and on March 5th, we're going to have our radiothon, our 12-hour radiothon that we have every year to help support the students that are participating in Alternative Spring Break. Those obstacles, social obstacles, economic obstacles, educational obstacles in communities that are underserved, goes to the very heart of what you were talking about, truth and service. This is a really big one this year. Talk to me about this one.
Yeah, this one is big. This has been growing. First, let me give absolute kudos to the team that has been putting this together for in excess of 20 years. I think this is exactly the kind of response and answer we have to have to what's going on in our country. We have to be in and among the community, supporting what they do and moving them and advancing them along. And so I really am a big supporter of this. I really do feel strongly that what we do here is the answer to the social problems that exist around us. And this is the kind of self-love I like to refer to in terms of how we help each other, how we reach out and make sure that we are having dialogue and conversation to advance it. And so, yes, this is a big one. They're going to many cities, a couple of foreign countries. And, you know, the more I see this activity and I think of the ambition that they have in terms of the impact they want to have, I think it says a lot about, again, Howard University in general and specifically the student body. This is what they should do. And again, my job is to make sure that they can do this unencumbered, do this without any type of difficulty.
Well, that help will come on Sunday, March 5th, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on WHUR. We're going to have our radiothon, and certainly we encourage the entire community, even outside of the Howard University community, to help contribute and send these students to Ghana, Haiti, North Carolina, Memphis, Dilly, Texas, Chicago, Detroit, Baltimore, New Orleans, Newark, New Jersey, St. Louis, Flint, Michigan, and of course, Washington, D.C. Looking forward to it. Dr. Frederick, always, always a pleasure to have you here, and thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, February 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. Follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.